All right, Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. I'm going to read verse 1 through verse number 14. I'm going to ask you, if you will, to stand in reverence to the Word of God. Let's stand and read the Word of God together. If you're not able, that is absolutely fine. But if you're able, stand with me. Let's read the Word of God together. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, I want to ask you this question after reading the first verse. How many's glad the Lord's still speaking? I was telling someone a while ago, I saved 1987. But I'm glad he didn't just speak to me in 1987. Thank God when I got saved, amen. He just keeps on speaking to me, amen. And if you'll open this Bible, God will speak to you. If you'll just read this Bible, if you just bow your head for a moment and say, Lord, I need you. Lord, would you talk to me today? Honey, I believe he'll talk to you, don't you? Amen. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. This shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the children of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto him, his house, take it, according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Now what God's saying right there, just let me explain just a minute. If there was plenty in that house, this lamb not only had to be killed, this lamb not only had to give its blood, they had to collect the blood, but then they were required to eat the lamb. Okay, they were required to roast the lamb and eat the lamb. And when you come into the New Testament, Jesus said, you're going to have to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. It identified them with the lamb, in other words, amen. But the Lord didn't want it wasted. So he said, if your house is too little for that lamb, then share with the one next to you. Get together, amen, and share that lamb. Now, he said, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. That's talking about, I had to look that up. I couldn't find that out. That's the inward parts that were edible. And then the Bible said, and you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, watch this now, your shoes on your feet. You know what God is saying here to the children of Israel? Y'all are getting ready to get out of here. In other words, when you're eating, you just remember, this might be the last meal you eat in this land. The next meal ye eat might be in another land. Watch what the Word of God said. Thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. I read that verse right now, and the Holy Ghost said to me what John said, even so come, Lord Jesus. I tell you, read the book of Revelation. Beloved, listen, it's a pretty sight for the church. But it's an awful sight for this world, amen. Thank God. Watch what the Bible said in verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. How many believes he's still the Lord? It's 2018. He's still the Lord. Honey, if we see 2019, he'll still be the Lord. If we see 2050, he'll still be that same God yesterday and today and forever. Now watch. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. If correctly read, that's verse 1 through verse 14 of Exodus 12. You can be seated. Please pray with me. Father, I thank you for the privilege to stand here today in this place. And God, I'm well aware that, Lord, I'm a man, a mortal man, a man, Lord, that one day will give up this breath, will give up this life, and take on my real home, that place called heaven. Until then, God, would you help me to be faithful? Would you help me to be a blessing? God, if you'll bless me this morning, Lord, with unction, unction from on high, I believe I can be a blessing, God, to people this morning in this place. Lord, more than anything this morning, it's my desire to be a blessing to that one that does not have peace this morning. That one, Lord, that does not know when they lay their head on their pillow at night that if they were to die, or if Jesus were to come in the night, that heaven would be their home. Help me to be a blessing to that individual today. Lord, I pray, make the message real in our hearts and in our hearing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I got three things I want to share with you this morning out of this text. I guess if I was going to title the message, it would just be When I See the Blood. That's how the Lord birthed it in my heart. I didn't have my Bible open, and to be honest with you, I normally don't have my Bible open when God births things in my heart. I'm meditating, I'm thinking, I'm praying, and God will give me a thought, and I'll go and look at the scripture on that thought and begin to look at the surrounding scripture. And I tell you, it ain't too long, amen, till what was just a thought becomes a volcano in my heart, and it just erupts, amen. And God gives us what we need for the hour. I want us to notice three things in the text. First, I want us to notice the typology in the text. Secondly, I want us to notice the timing in the text. And thirdly, I want us to notice the truth in the text that's before us today on When I See the Blood. Let me just hurriedly say something about the typology. Typology, if I was going to explain it, if you've never heard the word before, it would mean that you see an object, but it's actually a type of something else like it. Amen. And there's things that would be comparable between the two things. For example, Egypt is typical of this world and bondage to sin. In the Bible here, the children of Israel had gotten away from God, and God allowed them to be taken into bondage in Egypt. And Joseph, of course, died, and he said, you know, boys, he said, I die. He said, but God shall surely visit you. And he said, when he visits you, he said, I want you to carry my bones up out of the land of Egypt. Can I say this morning, listen to me, this world is a type of Egypt, and Egypt is a type of this world. And the sinner this morning is in bondage. He can't help it, amen. He's got the chains of sin on him. He can't help what he thinks. He can't help what he does. Oh, you say, preacher, I've helped it. I've turned over a new leaf. Oh, you just let the wind blow one time and the leaf turns right back over the way it was to start with. I tell you, there's only one way to have victory over sin, and that's through the same blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we sang about this morning. And so Egypt is typical of this world and the bondage that sin brings. Other night, Friday night in the meeting, oh boy, come down to the altar. Boy, I like it. Glory to God, he had sunglasses parked up on top of his head. His hair was matty looking. He had tattoos all over him. I'm telling you, beloved, when he smiled, well, he actually wasn't smiling, but when he talked, his teeth was rotted out. You say you're making fun of that old boy. No, I'm telling you, sin has a high price tag. And beloved, listen, that old boy come down to an altar. He came crushed. He came weeping. I put my hands up on his shoulders and asked him why he come. He said, I need to be saved. I looked him in his God-given eyeballs and asked him this question. I said, son, are you tired of sin? He said, I'm sick of it. I tell you, beloved, listen, when you get sick and tired of sin, you can get saved by the grace of God. Egypt is a type of that bondage to sin that we're in when we're lost without God. And then the Lamb is typical of the Savior. You know, one day on the bank of the Jordan, John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Oh, glory to God, I'm going to get on that after a while. But right now, I just want you to understand, beloved, that the Lamb is typical of the Savior. You remember, beloved, that Lamb had to be a Lamb without blemish. Glory to God. Listen, don't you listen to Hollywood. And you say, preacher, I thought it was Hollywood. No, it's Hollywood. I'm telling you, it's plumb full of hell when it's trying to depict the Lord Jesus as having evil thoughts and evil intent. I'm telling you, he's the spotless Lamb of God. He's never even thought an evil thought. He's never even thought something wrong. The Lamb is typical of the Savior. The death of the firstborn is typical of the judgment that's coming upon every lost sinner. Oh, you say, preacher, I'm not under judgment. The Bible said that if you believe not, you're condemned already. I'm telling you, he that believeth on the Son of God is not condemned. He that believeth not the Son of God, my friend, is condemned already, and the wrath of God abideth on him. That's what the Bible said. You want to know what happens when Holy Ghost conviction falls in somebody's soul? They realize they're displeasing to God, and they're under the wrath of God. They're under the judgment of God, and they want out from under that judgment, amen. And the only way to get out from under it is Christ and the blood that he shed on Calvary's cross. And then the blood applied. You remember they were instructed to put the blood on the doorposts, plural. And on the upper post, or the lintel, they were instructed to put the blood on there. And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Beloved, the blood applied is typical of the salvation that's taught in this Bible. I'm telling you, beloved, there's a multitude of people in this land that we live in that think they're going to heaven because their name's on the church roll, because they give $100 every Sunday. And I'm telling you, beloved, because they've got a baptismal certificate or they taught a Sunday school class. But I'm telling you, there ain't but one thing God's looking for in the end, and that's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not looking for anything else. Beloved, listen, if I stood before God today and God said, son, why should I let you into my heaven? First of all, God wouldn't say that because God already knows everything. But if he did, I'll tell you what I wouldn't say. It wouldn't have nothing to do with preaching. It wouldn't have nothing to do with a husband or a papaw or a daddy. I'm telling you, it wouldn't have nothing to do with reading the Bible. It wouldn't have nothing to do with praying. It wouldn't have nothing to do with tithing. But I'd say, Lord, 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 you said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And your darling son shed his blood at Calvary. And I bowed on an old-fashioned altar of prayer, realizing I was a sinner. He was the Savior. And he saved me from my sin. And Lord, I'm coming in on the merits, not of my own, but of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, that's how I'm getting in. Let me let you in on something. If you get in, that's how you'll get in. You're not getting in on your own merit. Everybody in this room deserves to die without God and fry in a devil's hell. But I'm telling you, beloved, listen, grace is not getting what I deserve. Grace is getting what God wants me to have because of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The typology in the text. Notice the timing in the text. I'm trying to hurry this morning. And one of these days, y'all are going to regret it, but I'm going to quit that. I've been going to church for 2 weeks. 3.5 hours at a time, getting up and working all day, and can't wait to go back to church. If you get your heart right, beloved, listen, an hour and a half wouldn't hurt you either. Amen. If you've got to go to the bathroom, get up and go. That'll be just fine. Amen. But come on back. Amen. I'm telling you, I've learned some things. I believe we're getting too big a hurry. I believe I told some people Jesus will be here at 2 o'clock in person. He's coming through the door. You wouldn't wait on him. Your mind's already made up. You've got somewhere to be. Something to watch. Say amen. I'm not being mean. But it's the truth. You think about, well, just let me just, I'm just going to preach a minute. No, I'm not. I'm going to run the rabbit. There's rabbits around here. Do you know that? I see rabbits about every day around here. There's rabbits around here. I'm going to eat me one of them before it's over with. I'm going to run this rabbit and then I'll shoot it. Now listen to me just a minute. You figure out how many hours you watched television last week. And how many hours you read your Bible. How many hours you was in church last week. You figure up how many hours, beloved, listen to me. You figure up how many hours you invested in physical bread last week. And figure up how many hours you invested in spiritual bread last week. You say, preacher, you've lost your mind. No, I'm not. I've not lost my mind. I found it. I'm telling you, beloved, we have a Savior that's worthy of our life. We have a Savior that's worthy. Listen, 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 listen. Oh, listen, listen, listen. We need to rewrite this song. It ain't right the way it is. The song said Jesus paid it all. What's the next line? Oh, we better rewrite that. This generation better rewrite. Ain't that right? Oh, Jesus paid it all, but a little bit to him I owe. Listen, you can look at me funny if you want to, but a lot of people, one service a week I owe. Say amen. It's quiet. That's all right. I'll give him one service a week. I ain't got time to read my Bible every day. I ain't got time to pray every day. I ain't got time for Sunday night. I ain't got time for Wednesday night. I ain't got time for Bible school. What happened to Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. What happened to I surrender all. I'm telling you, there's more lies told behind songbooks than anywhere else in the world. Beloved, listen. What happened, Brother Ralph, to victory in Jesus? I'm going to tell you something. We get the victory in our soul. Amen. We won't need anybody to beg us to go to church. We'll be wanting to go to the house of God. Won't need anybody to beg us to tithe. Boy, there's a message coming down the pike. Y'all going to love it. You wait till you hear that message on what's buried in your tent. That might be tonight. I'm telling you right now, beloved, listen, God has a word for us this morning. We've noticed the typology in the text. Let's notice the timing in the text. Number one, it was not determined by the men of God. Moses and Aaron are men of God, Brother Rose. But when this is going to happen is not determined by them. Number two, it's not determined by godless men. It was not determined by those running around in the land of Egypt. They weren't determining, Brother Preston, when this night was going to come. And when the death upon the, when the judgment was going to come. They were not determining that. God's men were not determining that. And the godless men were not determining that. Not only that, it was not determined by God's people. God had a bunch of people in Egypt. Beloved, if you'll read your Bible, they flourished in Egypt as far as the population. I'm telling you, beloved, they were growing families in Egypt. And the population of the Israelites was exploding in the land of Egypt. But the timing was not determined by God's people. Let me give you this. The timing is determined by God alone. You say, preacher, what do you mean? The Bible said in verse number 12, look at it there with me. The Word of God said in verse number 12 of chapter number 12, for I will pass. You see that? I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. Beloved, you say, I don't know what you're trying to say, preacher. I'm trying to tell you this. Judgment's coming. Amen. It ain't up to you. It ain't up to me. It ain't up to the lost people in Bloomingdale or the lost people in this world. It's not up to God's people. Are you listening to me tonight? But it's up to God alone. But you mark it down, beloved, you mark it down. As far as I'm concerned, there's not one thing that has to happen before God steps out on a cloud and says, come on up here, youngins, it's enough. And the world is going to think, well, finally, we got rid of that bunch of lunatics, amen. And I tell you, they're going to be glad to get rid of us. And the Antichrist is going to usher in a false peace. And beloved, they're going to think, finally, we've got it made. Finally, we've got what we want. And the Word of God teaches, beloved, that they'll have to receive a mark, beloved, in their forehead, the mark of the beast, or they will not be able to purchase anything. And beloved, the Word of God teaches that in the middle of that tribulation, all hell is going to break loose. I'm telling you, the timing of the judgment is up to God. And it's coming. Oh, you say, preach, I've been hearing that all my life. You better not relax. You got lost loved ones, you better be praying. You got lost loved ones, it wouldn't hurt to fast and pray. If we really believe the timing is in the hands of God, how many believes he could come at any moment? Any moment. How many believes you could die at any moment? Any moment. You could die, I could die. Any moment. A saved man can die at any moment. A lost man can die at any moment. Notice the typology in the text. Notice the timing in the text. Notice number three, and I'm done, the truth in the text. First thing I want you to see about the truth in this text is the source of the truth. In verse 1 down through verse number 3, I want to give you something to think about here. The Word of God said, and the Lord spake unto Moses. I said, the Bible said, and the Lord spake unto Moses. Do you know what the source of all truth is? The Lord. The Bible said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I didn't know if I'd say this or not. I didn't put it in my notes because I really didn't want to mention it. But I was looking up, Brother Steve, doing some research and trying to find out how many died in Egypt in the Passover. And I'm just seeing if there was an estimate. It's all over the map. But I ran across this site. And I'm not even going to mention the man's name. Just peradventure, there's something that's not accurate. But what they're doing is mocking, Brother Grizzle, the Word of God. They treat this story just like every other story in the Word of God. They're making God out. Listen to me carefully. They call God, Brother Rose, in this story, a murderer. A murderer of babies. You never heard such mockery in all of your life. They're making light of the Word of God. You say, preacher, why would you mention that? I believe the reason God had me to mention it because these people sitting on church pews doing the same thing. Making light of the Word of God. Making a mockery of the Word of God. You really don't believe that great big fish or that whale. You say, well, which one was it? The Bible calls them both. Swallow Jonah. I surely do. Surely you don't believe that God reached down and took some dirt and made a man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. I surely do. By the way, it takes more faith to believe that other lie or that lie that them other people come up with. Say amen. That two big things, two big blobs crashed together, amen. You know what I mean. The Big Bang Theory. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. I believe the Word of God. It's the source of the truth right here. It's God himself. Notice the substance of the truth. Look at verse number 5 down through verse number 7. The Bible said, your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year. The feminists would have a problem right there, wouldn't they? Why didn't he use a female lamb? We got a generation of people that's arguing over which bathroom to use. You say, what happens, preacher? I tell you what happens. When people get away from the source of the truth, they go nuts. They go crazy. Beloved, listen to what the Word of God said here. We're looking at the substance of this truth. Your lamb shall be without blemish.
a male of the first year, you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, sin has required a blood sacrifice. God made coats of skins. Adam and Eve sewed their fig leaves together. All of a sudden they sinned. They knew they were naked. I mean, before, if you could just imagine, they were like two-year-olds in grown-up bodies running around naked as a jaybird, not ashamed of anything. Say amen. Amen. And all of a sudden, when they took what God told them not to take, there was a guilt come over them. A guilt come over them. And so they started trying to hide their guilt. That's why a lot of people go to church, trying to hide their guilt. Let me tell you something about church. It'll never hide your guilt. It'll never hide your sin. Good place to hear about Jesus. Good place to hear about His blood. Good place to hear about what will hide your sin. What will forgive your sin. But it always required a blood sacrifice. And God is telling us here, it's going to have to die. Because of sin, something has to die. Now listen to me carefully. Everybody listen to me right quick. You can either accept the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus. And in other words, He took your place. He took my place. He died for us, for our sin. You can either accept that and trust that, or you'll have to die yourself. And you'll die in your sin. That day at the cross, one man said, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. He died to sin. That man in the middle of the Lord Jesus stretched out his arms and died for sin. That other man that said, if thou be the Christ, he died in sin. Now listen to me. You've got to make up your mind. Everybody's got to make up their mind. You going to die in sin or you going to die to sin? Jesus died for sin. And the only way to die to sin is come to Jesus and trust Him as your Lord and your Savior. And by the way, I'm just going to say this hurriedly. There's a generation trying to teach you can have a Savior without a Lord. That's not scriptural. Beloved, when He comes in as your Savior, He begins the will and the do of His own good pleasure. You can cooperate with that and have the joy bells of heaven ringing in your soul, or you can go against that and He will wear you out because He loves you. Watch now. We're looking at the substance of the truth. The Bible said here they're going to kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the doorposts, on the two side posts and the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Years ago, some of you were here when I preached this. God gave it to me before I ever came here. I was preaching in a prison. The Lord spoke to my heart about this text. You have blood here, and you have blood here, and you have blood here. Is everybody in agreement with that according to what the text is talking about? But God said, spoke to my heart and said, look where the blood is not. It's not on the threshold. You say, preacher, why is it not on the threshold? I believe the book of Hebrews tells us they had trodden underfoot the blood of the covenant and counted it as an unclean thing. Beloved, the blood of Jesus was not made to be walked on. It was not made to be walked over. But the blood of Jesus was made to be walked through. He is the door to heaven. Jesus said, I am the door. There is no other. There is no other way. When you look at the substance of the truth, now let me give you the secret of the truth quickly, and we'll hurry right along in the message. The secret of the truth, look at verse 5. What's the first two words? What's the first two words? Let me look back and make sure. Yeah, it is the first two. I wanted to make sure there wasn't a little word in front of it. What's the first two words? Your lamb. Somebody will shout right there. That's the secret of this whole text. You see, it's one thing to say, as John did, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. It's another thing to say, Brother Ralph, I want you to see the Lamb that took away my sin. Your Lamb. People don't get saved, beloved, in generalities. They get saved when they say, I'm the sinner and he's my Lamb. He's the one that died for my sin. He's the one that I need to forgive my sin. Oh, beloved, he took my punishment on the cross. He took my shame on the cross. He took my sin on the cross. He took my place on the cross. The Bible says that Jesus is the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The Bible said that Jesus is the great shepherd. The great shepherd gives his life to the sheep. The Bible teaches that he's the chief shepherd. The chief shepherd's coming again for the sheep. But my favorite is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Little boy in Sunday school, he didn't get it exactly right, but I kind of like how he got it. It was his turn to say Psalm 23:1. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. What else could I want? Well, glory to God. What else could we want this morning? Amen. Reminds me of something an old preacher said. He said, you're not rich in respect to what you have. He said, you're rich in respect to what you want. In other words, if you're content where you're at and with what God's blessed you with, you're a rich man. But if you're all the time wanting something else, you're probably a poor fella. Jesus will satisfy the soul, the hungry soul of men. Where are you? The Bible said, when I see the blood, if Jesus were to come in this room this morning, listen to me. This thing may go off. I'll throw it back this way if it does. He come in this room this morning looking right there. Looking right there. Looking right there, Brother Doyle. Right there. Looking right there, Brother Rick. He ain't looking to see how much money you dropped in the plate. He ain't looking to see if you've been a good husband. I believe you have. If you ain't and I find out about it, you're going to have a knot on your head. Brother Steve, he ain't looking at your suit or your tie or my tie. He's looking for one thing. That's the blood of his darling son. You mark us down this morning. When Jesus comes, you mark down what I'm saying. There'll be a lot of people trusting in religion that don't have a relationship with Jesus. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, let me say it to you like this. Many will say to me in that day, Jesus said, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? They wasn't out the bar room. Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not done many marvelous works in thy name? And he will say to them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Watch this. I never knew you. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen to me. I'm not done preaching yet. I'll be done in a minute or two or three or four. But let me tell you something. Jesus is looking for the blood. That's the only thing, Brother Adam, that will satisfy him is the blood of his son. Now, you say, well, preacher, don't you believe we ought to do good works? Yep, I do. Because the blood's already there. Because we love him. Because we love sinners. Because we love the church. I believe when you get saved, you love what God loves. God loves sinners. God loves the church. God loves the saints. He loves us. Amen. God loves obedience. The Bible said obedience is better than sacrifice. Beloved friend, listen. He said, when I see the blood. When I see the blood. We watched a little video the other night. Brother CT put up on the screen, and I can't remember all of it. But just what little bit I can remember, there were two gentlemen that ended up in eternity. A car wreck happened. And it was like they were ended up in eternity, and they were to give a reason why they should enter into heaven. And one of them, of course, he said, well, I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sin. And he said, come on in. And the guy's response was, what? That's it? Mm-hmm. That's it. Do you know Jesus? Has the blood been applied? That's it. As far as an entrance into heaven, that's it. The other one started, you know, about entrance into heaven, and he started things like this. Well, I did this down at the church. Don't that count for something? Well, my grandma did this. Don't that count for something? And he ran through a list of 6 or 8 things, and he kept saying, don't that count for something? I'm going to tell you something right now. Your entrance into the heaven that God has prepared for those that love him, nothing counts for anything except the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing counts for anything other than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you this, a couple things real quickly, and I'm done. The soberness of this truth. Look at verse 12 and 13. The Bible said, I'll pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I'll smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Everybody turn over to Exodus 12 and 30. I want you to see something that ought to sober you up. Look at Exodus 12 and 30. The word of God said, and Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Now let's not go into Kingsport. Let's just stay in Bloomingdale this morning. In the morning, we get up, and in every house in Bloomingdale, there's one dead. I don't believe you'd have to go next door. I believe you could stand anywhere on this property and hear the weeping and hear the wailing. Especially when they figure out all of a sudden that it's not just my house, but it's my neighbor on this side. It's my neighbor on this side. It's my neighbor in front of me. It's my neighbor behind me. Not one house where there was not someone dead. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say the judgment of God in Egypt is severe. The only place where there was not someone dead was not, my friend, the Egyptians, but it was where the children of Israel had done what God said and put the blood on the doorpost like God said. God said, I'll come by. I'm passing over that house. Dead. Passover. Passover, dead, 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 dead. Every Egyptian, the firstborn of man and beast, died in the land of Egypt. You say, boy, it don't seem like a loving God to me. I'm going to tell you what a loving God did. He left you a whole book called the Bible. I'll tell you what a loving God did. He sent his son to Calvary. I'll tell you what the Son of God did on Calvary. He shed his blood so it could be applied in your life and in my life. Watch this and I'm done. The sharing of this truth. The message has been wrapped up in 3 simple things. The typology, the timing, and the truth in this text. If you will, look at verse 14. The Bible said, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast of the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. If I'm reading my Bible correctly, Brother Grizzle, what God is saying in that verse right there is I do not want this truth to die. I want this truth to stay alive in every generation. That judgment passed through the land of Egypt one night, and only those who had the blood applied were spared the judgment of God. You say, preacher, that don't apply to our generation. Oh, yes, it does. Oh, yes, it does. And it's time you and I that have lost people begin to weep. When they're laying in that box up here, it's too late to weep. It's time we begin to pray. It's time we begin to share the truth concerning the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you this illustration and I'm done. I read this about, I believe it was John Wesley. It was. When evangelist John Wesley, he lived from 1703 to 1791, was returning home from a service one night, he was robbed. The thief, however, found his victim to have only a little money and some Christian literature. As the bandit was leaving, Wesley called out, "Stop! I have something more to give you." The surprised robber, he paused and he said, "My friend," Wesley said, "My friend, you may live to regret this sort of life. If you ever do, here's something to remember. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin." What about that, Brother Steve? Brother Aaron's out there teaching the children this morning the principle of sowing and reaping and watering. And then in the story it says that Wesley prayed over that man and over those words. He said, "Sir, the day may come when you get tired of being a thief. And if it does, I want you to remember the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from your sin." You know what God's saying? Maybe you've spent your life sucking on a beer bottle. Maybe you've spent your life putting pills into your body. Maybe you've spent your life using God's name in vain. But the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Maybe you've spent your life looking at dirty pictures and dirty movies. But God is saying the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. You may be like old Miles. I'll never forget him because of your Miles, Brother John. 26-year-old Miles, nice tie, nice shirt, clean cut fella, Friday night a week ago. Shook his hand as he came to the altar and I said, "Sir, why'd you come?" He said, "I've been in church all my life and I'm not saved." You know what happened that night? The Holy Ghost let him look down on an empty vessel where no blood was supplied. And he got tired of playing the game. And he got saved by the grace of God. I'm going to tell you something right now. It takes the grace of God to do what Wesley did. The guy took what little bit of money he had, took his literature that he had, and he says, "Wait a minute, there's one more thing I want to give you." I tell you, most of us would have wanted to give him one more thing. Say amen. Wesley said, "If you ever get tired of this shot lie," reminds me of the fellow from Rogersville. They're going to give us a list of the names at the end of this meeting, a spreadsheet. I'll have the names of those that are in Kingsport, Churchill, Rogersville. How many knows what this preacher's going to do? I'm not going to stand back and say, "Well, we'll see if they got it or not." I'm going to try to encourage them. How many help me? Get on the phone. Help me visit them. Try to encourage them. But this morning, God wants to leave you with this. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Bob, this message is a little easier this morning than it would have been last Sunday morning, ain't it, son? See something besides that stinking self-righteousness? He sees the blood. He sees the blood. What's he see this morning when he's looking at you? Do you love him? Are you already irritated because it's almost 12:30? I'm not preaching to 12:30 to try to irritate you. I'm just trying to preach what God. I've only preached 45 minutes. I'm just trying to preach what God gave me. Is that all right? Is that all right? Would you rather have somebody come in here, tickle your ears a few minutes, make you feel good about yourself? Or would you rather have somebody make you feel good about your Savior? The one that shed his blood on an old rugged cross. Let's bow for prayer.